Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
If they can get some guys back, obviously it lends itself to what we were talking about earlier, which is just a better opportunity to evaluate what you have here with your quarterback, even with some of the other young guys, Dan. Though we've talked about wide receiver like crazy, I still think there are some guys there that I'd like to see more of and be able to maybe evaluate a little bit better. I like Cedric Tillman a lot. But we haven't seen it.
He too just needs to get on the field.
Well, he's been injured.
And yeah. It's sadly not the poor guy's fault with the concussions and everything else.
Well, but at some point, though, you know,
it's the reality of our situation.
Right. If you're not on the field, you're not part of it.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you can't make the club from the top.
Well, unfortunately, it's really true. But we've seen him play well in certain situations. Joe Flacco. You know, Jameis Winston. We've seen that. And I wonder if there's more to it. I want to see more of Isaiah Bond. You know, there are a couple of guys that you think, let's see this. Surprised they cut Jamari Thrash the other day. They brought him back.
Back on practice squad.
Right, he's back. But the fact that they were even willing to put him in a transaction, they probably weren't going to lose him. You know, probably called his agent, hey, here's what we're going to do. We want him back, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that he's in that position, to me, screams he's not really in your plans. But there are other guys to see. So hopefully if these guys are able to come back, be healthy, it'll help the entire offense and ultimately help your thinking with Shador.
I want to see them use Isaiah Bond in a role that isn't just, hey, run fast in a straight line. I would love to see what that guy could do.
Can I add this to it? And can we see Malachi Corley do more than run a jet sweep? They seem to have limited these two young guys to these things. Not exclusively, but predominantly.
And who knows on the Isaiah Bond front? Maybe the ball flying off of his helmet is pretty much all they needed to see to go, okay, he's not ready to handle that yet.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's that simple that they're, you know, using that as, I don't want to say holding it against the guy or holding it above the guy, because I don't think that's the right way to think of it, but maybe that's something that's making them caution against using him as anything more than, hey, just run in a straight line, if you don't mind. Like, I would like to see them run a slant with him and hit him in stride and see, you know, let him get a head start and see what the speed looks like. I just think that would be an asset this team doesn't have. And it would be less touches for Jerry Jeudy, which is a win for all of us.
Todd's in Ward 1. Hello, Todd.
All right, Todd.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Dan. I'm in a perpetual state of struggle, but that's not what I called about.
Good point. I'd find someone more qualified if you want to talk about that.
So the answer to your question is no. I haven't seen enough from Shador to say that this is our guy for next year. However, collectively, as Jeff and I have discussed on air, collectively, the quarterback room looks good for next year. Don't draft another one. Watson, Gabriel, and Sanders, in any particular order, will probably be just fine if we get the necessary offensive line. That is what's going to determine the level of quarterback play that is going to be most needed. We need three offensive linemen, and we should get them two in the draft, first round, and maybe even go get one in the second round, too. There's an exception to this with me. Those linebackers from Georgia are fast and excellent tacklers. I don't know if they're coming out. I haven't looked. But separate from that, it's going to be determined by the quality of play, the offensive line, as to what we're going to need most in a quarterback. So Shador has not shown enough. but he's in a room where collectively they'll be okay. Just hold him down for next year. Oh, exiting note, Isaiah Bond's going to be our number one receiver next year. He just needed a whole year to get through. You'll see.
Todd,
talk me into it.
Can't argue with that.
Talk me into it. I hope you're right. I would love for that to be the case.
If this team comes back next year and there's nobody at wide receiver who you think pushes Jerry Jeudy for the status of the, you know, the perceived number one receiver, that's a problem.
That might be the closest I will ever see you to rioting. Would be if they come back next year with this same wide receiver group. I think that is the closest I will ever get you to rioting.
Dano, how long have we worked together on this show?
Goodness, 6 years I think it's been now.
How long have I been complaining about the depth and talent at wide receiver?
Goodness, has it been 6 years now? Good gravy.
I'll tell you when. Ever since Jarvis Landry and Odell weren't here anymore. That's when.
But even then, I think you were saying, hey, you should probably go get one
and
more.
And you know
of those
why? Again.
Ooh, I don't know if Donovan Peoples-Jones is that guy. I heard you say that.
But take a look around the league. Teams that are really good have wide receivers in waves. Look at your Packers. Now, do the Packers have an absolute beast?
No.
But do they have four or five guys who you think, yep.
Yes, they do.
They have four,
like a basketball team.
Right. They have four or five guys who you think, yep.
Christian Watson.
I've mentioned Tampa Bay numerous times. Baker's driving a sports car down there. He has wide receivers out the wazoo. I mean, they went out and brought in two young guys this year, Emeka Abuka and Tez Johnson. And guess what? They can both play. And you add them to McMillan and Godwin. Come on, man.
Goodness, look
at
the Rams.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And Puka Nacua, you went out and you moved on from Cooper Kupp. You brought in Devontae Adams. You add in Tutu Atwell coming off of the injured list. I mean, they always seem to have another guy but ready to come up who's going to make some noise.
I agree. Martin is in Highland Heights. Hi, Martin.
All right, Martin.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
We're good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, don't forget now you made me a friend of the show.
Martin's a friend of the show.
Thank you. guys, now, I was listening. Yes, I think that Shador, these next three games, is very critical for him. But also, Jeff, something that you've been saying, you've been, like, harping on Shador's percentage. Look at, you just got through talking about our wide receivers. First of all, I've been a Browns fan since the late 60s. I'm 68 years old. I've seen every quarterback that came here. The most talented quarterback that we had, to me, since I've been watching, and this is, I'm going to just say it off the top of my head, was Baker Mayfield. I like Bernie Kosar. Bernie Kosar was good. I really like him, but he didn't have the athletic ability. He had the smarts and that. I've seen everything, the drive, the fumble, the frostbite in Minnesota. I've seen it all.
Good resume.
We've been changing quarterbacks every year since I've been watching the Browns. Over 50 years, we have no patience with quarterbacks. The wide receivers, Jeff, his percentage is low because, first of all, they're not getting open. And usually when they do get open, the catch they made is contested. Look at the throw he threw to Jeudy on the money. But that receiver was right there. The defensive back took it from him.
Martin, there have been good throws, but there have been bad throws, too.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't say a quarterback has the worst completion percentage in the NFL.
Peaks and valleys of the rookie quarterback.
And some of it's not on him. But that, Martin, that's okay. He's a rookie, and he's in hope, fingers crossed here, that he's going to get better. It's okay.
Some of it's on him. But then, okay, what would you rather for him? Hold the ball and take a sack? What about the ones when he throw away because ain't nobody open and he got to run out of the
Every quarterback does that. And see, Martin, I admire your passion for the guy, but every quarterback does that. Every quarterback throws the ball away. You know, that's not why you have the worst completion percentage in the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The NFL. That's not why. Well, can we just admit he's got to get better at it?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's okay.
There's not a darn thing wrong with that.
Right. He has to get better at it.
I got to get better at a lot of stuff.
No, you don't, Dan.
I got a board better.
About as good as you get.
You got a host better. We'll get it fixed.
You're about as good as you get.
We'll get it fixed.
No, I don't. Steven's in Lyndhurst. Steven.
Hey, well, I just listened to that last guy. He said he's seen all the Browns quarterbacks, and so have I. You know, I'm 58 in my era. Ernie Kosar, the 3FC champion.
There you go, Steven.
I don't know where this guy been. I don't know what he think he's been watching. But for me, I'm simplifying things, you know. I've seen enough from Shador. Because all I need Shador to show me is he has those intangibles and he can do his part. It's about doing your job. And the way Kevin Stefanski got this team as of now, it's just not a winning football team. It wasn't a winning football team last year. And if you watch that game Sunday, the first thing they opened up and they show Kevin Stefanski on the sideline with a 42-53 record. You know, he hasn't won no division titles in 6 years. We haven't been to no AFC championship games. And if people think, oh, I can go out here and get this Superman of a quarterback and all of a sudden everything going to be hunky-dory, it's more to football than that. You have to do your job. The Sunday's game, no running game. I don't even think Q ran for what, 12 yards? Shador was the leading rusher for the last two football games.
Not good.
So I've seen enough from Shador to say, if we go in with him in that draft class that Barry just had with Q, Junkins, Schwarzenegger, Fennin, and Bunn, if we build around that with a new head coach, a new philosophy, a new vision, a new offensive coordinator, I think we can be an 800 team next year. You got to take baby steps. That's just my opinion.
All right, Steven. Thank you very much. Again, there are bigger issues here than being able to proclaim a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
That to me is the basis of this entire thing and what we've been discussing this morning. And I honestly think Shador can do the franchise a lot of good if he goes out and plays well these final three games, because at the very least, it buys the franchise time and it buys Shador time to perhaps go out and have a full season to be the starter and show things. Again, I don't think he's had enough time to say, yep, we got a guy. I also don't think Dillon Gabriel has had enough time to say, yep, we don't have a guy. We just heard Kevin Stefanski. Big news, Wyatt Teller. Trending in the right direction, whatever.
Trending appropriately.
Yes, something like that. And that was about the biggest news in a not very big news press conference. Would you agree?
That might be the shortest Wednesday press conference Kevin Stefanski has ever given.
It lasted less than 10 minutes.
Call Josh Allen a fullback when he gets ahead of steam, which about right. That's about right. It's like watching Lorenzo Neal sometimes.
I don't know how that guy was the third quarterback taken in that draft.
Jeff, you do know why. We've talked about it enough times. Accuracy rarely improves. It's like one of those quarterback stats that you always circle when you're evaluating guys.
Well, it goes down.
It rarely improves when you find your way to the NFL.
Okay.
And I think a lot of teams looked at that guy and said, boy, that's a wild horse right there. And I think a lot of people were scared off by Jake Locker. Like, I know that's where I learned that lesson. I thought Jake Locker was going to be awesome. I thought he was going to be the next great quarterback in the NFL because I thought
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, if you fix his, you know, fix his footwork, maybe work on his arm angle a little bit, you've got something here. This guy could be something, and he flopped. And I wonder if that's what scared people off of Josh Allen the way that it was.
When I watched Josh Allen video from Wyoming, and I watched a lot of it because, you know, the Browns had the number one pick.
Yeah.
I am no NFL scout. And I watched that video and I thought, oh my God, this guy runs phenomenally well. And then when he threw it, it was like, this is the biggest arm I've seen coming out of college in forever. I thought, how do you not take this guy? And they didn't. I know, accuracy.
And that's what it was. And you know what? He bucked the trend.
I thought he could do it.
Did you watch Sunday Night Football this week?
Oh, of course.
When they were comparing J.J. McCarthy to him?
Yes.
And the motions and all that stuff. Collinsworth did a really good job breaking that down. Collinsworth will drive me nuts from time to time. But
I think Collinsworth's outstanding.
On that kind of stuff, that was fascinating.
See, that's what J.J. McCarthy looks a little loose to me.
Yeah.
But I think he looks really intriguing.
I mean, I don't know if I'd move on if I were Minnesota.
I don't think I would. But yeah. You know what? If you're Minnesota, it's almost like what you need to do if you're the Browns. And it's a bigger move for Minnesota to do it because they took McCarthy with the 10th pick in the draft. They better cover their you-know-whats. That's what I think they need to do. And that means, okay, bring back Carson Wentz. Or bring in fill-in-the-blank. Go trade for Kirk Cousins. Get Cousins in there. Get somebody else in there and have McCarthy win the job. And that's kind of what I think the Browns need to do. Whether it's Deshaun or somebody else, give Shador some competition and let him go do it. And now one thing you and I talked about before the show, and we thought this is the segment where we're going to make people mad. And I mentioned it when we went to break. I don't know that we have seen enough of Dylan Gabriel. Now, that said, I'm not going to start him ahead of Shador Sanders right now.
Agreed.
But I was left with this thought, Dan, and when we were talking before the show, you said the exact same thing. It was this. I wonder if that guy can push the ball down the field or if that's just what they wanted him to do so they didn't call for him to try and push the ball down the field. Because the first couple of games with Shador, we thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then we said, turn him loose. Please turn him loose and let him go. And they did against Tennessee, and he did really well. And then last game, not so much against Chicago. Yeah. But, you know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Circumstances, whatever. And that's what I wonder about Dylan Gabriel. That said, I wasn't crazy about Dylan when they drafted him. Anybody who has listened to our show knows that if I have my choice of a 6'4", 6'5" quarterback who's big, strong, can take a hit, or a 6', 6'1" quarterback, you know which guy I'm going to take. And if he happens to be 5'11", you really know which guy I'm going to take.
Yep.
That said, if you watch Dylan Gabriel play from college, if you watch his tape at Oklahoma, if you watch his tape at Oregon, he showed a lot more arm in college than he has shown here so far. That arm just didn't go away.
No.
And sorry, before anybody says he can't see over the linemen, he's been seeing over linemen for 6 years.
It's not like they got any taller.
College linemen are big dudes. They're all big. It's the big ones who are good at playing offensive line who make it to the NFL.
Right.
But the guys in college are all 6'4", 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, it's not like when he was at
places like Oklahoma and Oregon especially.
Right. It's not like when he was at Oklahoma, he had an offensive line who were all 5'7".
Correct.
Like, it's just not how this works.
He didn't have the kid playing at center because he's 5'8", 240.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely.
And so that said, I don't think Dylan has had enough of a sample size either to make a complete determination on him. I didn't think he played real well.
Thought he played poorly. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say horribly. I just thought he was this. Eh. And he left me wondering this, Dan. Is that all there is to this? Or is there more and they need to turn him loose so that we can see it? I still don't know the answer to that. It could be. That's all there was, and that's all that there's ever going to be. But, you know, take a look at what Miami just did. Tua is the poster child for smaller left-handed quarterbacks who throw the ball the right, you know, do the right thing supposedly and blah, 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 blah. And idol of Dylan Gabriel, one of them, along with Marcus Mariota. And guess what? Quinn Ewers is going to start for Miami. Goodness gracious, what's that tell you?
That's a choice.
What's that tell you?
That's a choice. It tells you that Tua might be having to update that resume more than he thought in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, but the problem is then where is he going to end up on the carousel? Because I put it this way, I don't want him in Cleveland.
I don't either.
I'm not the biggest Tua guy. Like, I
Tua's had some really good moments, and he's had some moments that make you think, yeah, this guy's not really the guy.
Right, and especially at the price tag that he's sitting at on top of it.
And the concussion history on top of that.
And where I am with Dylan Gabriel is I wonder if they got into his head that it's like, you have to play on time. You have to play on time. It needs to be 3 steps, ball out. It needs to be 5 steps, ball out. Like, for some reason, the guy pushed the ball down the field at Oregon, and he did not push the ball down the field in Cleveland.
And Oklahoma.
And I can't figure it out.
In other words, they turned him robotic?
Yeah. And I wonder if it, you know, maybe he was someone who read this as like, yes, I have to get the ball out now, instead of going, well, I can kind of get the ball out now, or I can use the mobility that I have to get outside the pocket and work the ball down the field and buy myself a little bit of time. It was just so bizarre to me watching a guy who could push the ball down the field, just not.
I agree with that. Chris is in West Park. Hey, Chris.
How are you, Chris?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
And
happy
to you.
Holidays.
Thank you.
So I got bad news and I got good news.
Oh, good.
All right, start with the bad, and then I can feel good at the end of the call.
The bad news is we still have Deshaun Watson.
That is
the good news. The good news is that we still have Deshaun Watson. I know he's a pariah, but Nick, going into next year, we've got a veteran quarterback, and we can bring Shador along slowly, or there's a 100,000,000% chance maybe Deshaun Watson becomes a good quarterback again. I mean, I know it's a strange thought, but he's had a lot of time to rest. He'll have a full training camp. He'll be able to help Shador and help Gabriel. And who knows? I mean, last year we went in with a couple of veterans and a couple of rookies. This year we still have a veteran quarterback. As bad as he's played, there's still that chance he could, I don't want to say become good again, but he's not terrible.
Chris, he wasn't good his last time out, but I wonder if his shoulder was worth a hoot. And you're right. He's had time to let that thing heal. And here's the other aspect to what you're saying, Chris, and I couldn't agree with you more on this. He's a veteran. If you have to play him, you could, assuming he's healthy enough with his shoulder and his Achilles that he can go out and be functional. I can't help but think he's closer to the guy that he was the year when Flacco came in, when Flacco won some games, and Deshaun actually won some games. He was 5-1 than the guy last year who was really, really bad. And that with him being under contract for only one more year, that might be that year where you buy yourself some time to determine, can Shador be the guy? Can Gabriel be the guy? And again, I think Shador's ahead of Gabriel. Or we can do this for a year and then go get our guy the next year. I think, Chris, you're right on the money. We've been talking a lot of big picture quarterback stuff today. And I think it's Unfortunately, and I know people say, how do you stomach talking about the quarterback all the time?
I think it's the number one question we get about doing
this
job.
Well, we do, don't we?
Out in the wild.
It used to be Browns. Now it's specific quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's this. It's still fascinating.
Yep. There's no answer.
There's no clear-cut answer yet.
Right.
Now, I don't even know if we'd have the answer had Dylan Gabriel been the starter at the beginning of the year and played all year. I don't know if we'd have the answer if Shadur was the starter at the beginning of the year and he played all year. Or if Kenny Pickett was. Because you brought in four options that you thought, on all four.
There have only been, about four times since 99. And I'm doing this off the top of my head, so if I'm wrong, please correct me. Wherever you can get a hold of me. There's only been about four times since this team came back in 1999 that you were like, yeah, that's the quarterback going into the season. Tim Couch, you saw him.
Yep. And Baker Mayfield.
Baker, so that's two of them. I would say after the 10-7 or 10-6 Derek Anderson season.
You thought Derek was the guy. Derek went to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, you felt pretty good about bringing
that
guy back.
And was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then that went south fast.
And Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Maybe five if you say the one year they brought in Jeff Garcia and we all knew that Jeff Garcia was going to be the quarterback that year. Maybe five.
That year. Yeah.
You know, and that might be the only times you've truly had stability at the quarterback position going into an offseason.
I just think, and again, after we hear from Shadur, we're going to talk about the college guys coming out because I was convinced, Dan was convinced.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think we were all convinced that, okay, that trade with Jacksonville means you're taking a quarterback. That landscape has changed and changed severely. And we're going to discuss that coming up. Anthony's in Elyria, home of the Pioneers. What's up, Anthony?
How are you, Anthony?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Well.
Well, good, good, good. I just want to chime in. I had listened to the last quarter, and he was saying he made a comment about the pros and the cons of having Deshaun Watson on the roster.
Yeah.
And I would like to say I kind of agree with him, and I'll tell you why. You know, even though regardless of what people feel about Deshaun as an individual, human being, and the way he played for us, this guy at one time was a top three NFL quarterback. I think you remember when they were just trying to decide who was better, him or Mahomes. But with that being said, he's a valuable addition to the quarterback room. Obviously, what I've been hearing is him and Shadur get along. He and Shadur get along great. He can give him some great, you know, that veteran leadership behind the scenes that we don't necessarily see on game day. So that's why Deshaun is valuable. And then if he had to play, you know, he'd probably help you now in the backup role, and then they could either bring in another veteran or develop Dylan. So I like the idea that he's still on this roster because if nothing else, he can be that veteran voice in the locker room, in the quarterback room that can help out.
All right.
What do you guys think?
I personally would cut him, move on, and get his locker completely out of there. And the reason that I say it that way is I know it is a massive cap hit. I just think, A, this team needs to close the book. The chapter needs to be closed. You need to write the end of the whole thing and get it out. It, to me, feels like Emmanuel Clase, and it feels like Luis Ortiz when they clean those lockers out.
I understand that.
You need to get the swing and the miss out the
door. I understand that completely.
That's part one. Part two of it, if I were to tell you that in the last, you wanted to have a quarterback in here, that in the last 10 years, tore both of his ACLs, tore his Achilles twice, and had a shoulder surgery that quarterbacks typically do not have, I don't think you would want that guy on your roster.
All right. I'll
especially as a starter.
Deshaun
Watson.
Let me kick back on you.
Sure.
Until I see that those injuries have affected him to the point now that he's had a chance to sit and let it all heal up where he can't play anymore, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's going to be healthy enough to go. We might find very quickly that he's not. But he's here, he's under contract. Let's assume that he's healthy, okay? Let's just assume that. Your points are right on the money. I mean, the guy's been beat up.
Yeah.
So that's bad. Let's see if he's been able to heal up and can actually function as he used to or close to what he used to. Here's the one point, though. We've heard from Kevin we've heard from Shador. Boy, he's been terrific. Deshaun's great. He's been the mentor. He's been a great in the room and all that stuff. We've heard that, have we not?
I mean, we have, but I'm pretty
okay, stop,
sure.
Stop. We have. Now let me take it to a different level. You know why we've heard it? Because he can't play.
And it's also the Browns.
He can't play this year. Do you think Deshaun Watson thinks he's anybody's backup quarterback? Do you think that? I don't think there's any way that this guy thinks he's anybody's backup. And guess what? He shouldn't think that.
No.
He shouldn't think that.
Because if you think that, what that means is that you think you should be out of the league.
Exactly. He's making big money. He's made big money. If he's healthy, you know he thinks he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I want him to think he's the man. Is he the same guy then if whoever's coaching this team or whatever says, yeah, hey, Deshaun, you're going to be the backup? Does he become the boy, he's just a great guy in the room.
But
I'd almost be mad at him if he was.
It's also Kevin Stefanski, though. Like,
well, now it is.
If you,
we'll see.
But, I mean, you're talking about all the different things that are said of Deshaun Watson. Like, if you needed a cover letter written about you, I would ask Kevin Stefanski to write it for you.
And I don't even know Kevin.
Because that guy would be like, Jeff Phelps shows up every single day, works hard, we love what he's able to bring to the room.
How am I trending?
He comes on the phone call every day, knows exactly what he wants to do. He's well-prepared, he's well-rehearsed. We're very impressed with what he has been able to bring not only to us, but to his teammates.
How am I trending?
He would write that up for you and he'd be like, damn, that's a pretty good cover letter. Okay, I can live with
that. Am I trending okay?
You're appropriate.
All right, good.
Appropriately.
Good. That's what I want to know.
Not too high, not too low.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Kevin Stefanski generic answer. I have never heard Kevin Stefanski walk up to the podium and say the words, this guy's a bum. I don't know why the hell he's here. He doesn't want to be here. That doesn't happen.
Oh, no, you haven't, have you? Shador's press conference is coming up. Chuck's in Detroit, Motor City. What's up, Chuck?
How are you, Chuck? You need Kevin Stefanski to write your resume.
Never been to Detroit. I'm actually in Beachwood, but I want to go one day.
Why does it say Detroit on my screen?
It'd probably be some miscommunication.
Chuck's in Beachwood.
My bad. I thought that's what it said.
My phone's not the most valuable phone. It's pretty cheap.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, this is something I do want to say. You know, you guys remember the movie The Matrix.
Quite well.
He had Neo. He didn't know who he was. He didn't believe himself until he got Morpheus. So you need to get ahead of the whole regime that galvanizes the guy. Kevin Stefanski does not do that. You know, he holds nobody accountable, so that enables a lot of bad play out on the field. If I know I can have my job no matter what, I'll basically go out to do. I mean, look at Jerry Jeudy. Prime example in the Broncos, he got benched. You know, forget the first-round talent, he got benched. We go and get this guy, I think it was $14 million.
17.
And then look what he does with your rookie quarterback. So toxic when you have a great rookie class. You don't want to have veterans that are toxic, you know, so I think it's a culture thing, and we do need a new head. Now, just real fast, speaking about Shador, he got elite traits that I don't think we can look past. I mean, it's kind of on the Browns to develop him. We've seen what we've seen out of Gabriel. Everybody really pretty much agrees Gabriel has, I think he reached his ceiling. I mean, I think he could be a great backup, but with Shador, we can't let the Browns off the hook on developing what we see. What do you guys think?
All right, Chuck, thank you for the phone call from Beachwood.
Okay.
From Detroit.
So this is another can of worms. Jeff, do you believe when the Cleveland Browns brought in, we're not doing the quarterback competition because that was, I don't feel like going down that road.
Yeah, it turned out to not be a real deal.
Do you believe it is possible for a quarterback to be able to get better inside of a building without playing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I also agree.
Ask Jordan Love.
That is something that I think a lot of people do not believe around here, is that it is possible for Shador Sanders to sit down with a coaching staff, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, be able to put some stuff on practice film, and then be able to review that practice film and figure out how to better his footwork, better his ability to read, better his ability to see things and all of that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.